During these winter months between the solstice in December and the equinox in March, we are asking the question in worship, what is religion for? What's the purpose? What's the hope? What's the spiritual goal that comes at the end of spiritual practice? Athletes don't practice just to practice. Eventually, there's a big game. Musicians don't practice just to practice. Eventually, there's a performance. What are you practicing for? During the fall months, we looked at various kinds of spiritual practices. I hope that many of you were inspired to take up a personal spiritual practice, or perhaps to recognize a spiritual practice in something that you already do. And even if belonging to this church and coming to worship on Sundays is your only regular, intentional, holistic, ecstatic connection to your spirituality, community worship is itself a spiritual practice. So the question for everyone in this room is, why? Why are you here? What do you hope to get from your involvement in and commitment to a spiritual community? And although one way to answer that question might be to look at a particular Sunday experience and say, like, I hope to have a moment of peace in the midst of a stressful week. I hope to be inspired by some beautiful music. I hope to be challenged by an interesting question in the sermon. I hope that you will also consider the question of why in the larger and longer dimension of your continued involvement and commitment to this church. Not just Sunday by Sunday, but over months and years and over your lifetime, what are you hoping to achieve as you follow your long spiritual journey through life? Where do you hope to go with this spiritual life of yours? What will be different after you put in the practice? How will you change? How will you grow? Who do you hope to be, finally, on game day as you step out onto that final stage? More loving, more compassionate, more effective, more composed. We've looked at a few answers to the why question already these last few weeks. Some people seek a spiritual goal of wisdom. Others seek courage. For others, the goal is joy. Perhaps one or more of those speak to you. Perhaps your goal is one that I'll still get to in coming weeks. But you might also be thinking, as you heard my sermons on wisdom and courage and joy as spiritual goals, you might say, you know, I already am wise, courageous, joyful. You might be feeling pretty good about yourself. And you should, because I dare say that everyone in the room is feeling the same way. Maybe not wise exactly, that's a little much. But I know a lot, and I answer most of the questions on Jeopardy. Maybe not courageous in the sense of a fireman rushing into a burning building, but I've got the courage I need to get up in the morning, courage to change the things I can, that sort of courage. Maybe I'm not the joyful type, which actually sounds a little annoying, but I'm happy, fairly happy. I have my good days. I can tell a joke, and I can take one. You'll probably find the same is true as we get to the other spiritual goals, too. For everyone, you'll probably be able to say, I've got that. I've got some of that. Because here is a spiritual truth attested by every religious tradition. Buddhism teaches us contentment and the perniciousness of desire. You already have everything you need. You have what you seek. The kingdom of God is within you, according to Luke. Chapter 17, verse 21. The spiritual goal doesn't require acquiring. The spiritual goal is to recognize your inner gifts and let them flourish, to awaken what is already in you, to expand, to flower, to grow as a child becomes an adult, not by becoming a different person, but by integrating childhood experiences into adult maturity. As the Unitarian Universalist minister David C. Pohl writes in the words that we read as our opening words this morning, the goal is to rediscover the wondrous gift of free religious community, not to discover for the first time, but to rediscover something that we already know within, to renew our faith in the holiness, goodness, and beauty of life, he writes. Not to find that faith for the first time, but to renew a faith that we knew long ago, to reaffirm the way of the open mind and the full heart, to rekindle the flame of memory and hope, and in one of my most loved phrases in all of our hymnal, to reclaim the vision of an earth made fair with all her people one. You are wise in some way, a little bit. The goal is not to get wise, but to take the wisdom that you have and build on it. You are courageous. I know you are. The goal is to let your little latent courage fill your whole body and then your whole life. I know sparks of joy are in you. The goal is to let those sparks light a fire of joy that burns through your whole life. Sometimes we hear stories of religious experience where a transformation comes suddenly and spectacularly. Paul knocked from his horse on the road to Damascus, or Saint Francis receiving the stigmata. Stories of visions and visitations, sudden conversions. But more often, for most people, spiritual transformation is a long, gradual, and meandering process. Perhaps the journey begins with some dramatic experience, an epiphany, a theophany, a baptism, a call, being born again. But after the drama, we pick ourselves off the floor, we get ourselves out of the water again, we wipe our eyes, we dry ourselves off, and we start the work. It's because, actually, we know a little wisdom that we want to be truly wise. It's because we feel a little courage that we want more. It's because we have had a taste of joy in our lives that we long for the full meal for our whole lives. I find this spiritual truth comforting, even a little bit of a relief, because spiritual transformation doesn't have to be that total or that difficult. I don't need to make a radical change in my life in order to pursue my spiritual goals. I don't need to join a monastery. I don't need to take vows that I don't want to take. I don't need to hope for a revolution. I just need to work for progress. I don't need to hope for a miracle or feel cheated because, at least so far in my life, I haven't had the kind of transforming experience that the mystics have. I don't need a new life. I just need this life. All I need for this life is to grow a little more, to expand, to develop, to mature, to take what I already have of wisdom, courage, joy, and so on, and to let it blossom the way that a fully opened rose isn't a different flower from a partially opened bud. It's the same flower, just a little more. And that feels doable to me, even kind of easy. I could do that. It's only what I already have, just a little bit more. Maybe 10% more. 10% more justice. 10% more commitment. 10% more connection, self-awareness, joy, inspiration, hope, generosity, kindness, humor, love, engagement, courage, just 10% more. Not huge leaps, not giant steps, not thrilling adventures, not impossible dreams, just a partially opened rose opening all the way. With a little care and attention, it almost happens by itself. And I can do this, and you can do this, and we can do this. So today is the kickoff Sunday for our stewardship campaign, and the campaign theme is 10% more. What that means is that we start by affirming that our church is good. Our congregation is robust, our programs are healthy, Our worship is inspiring. Our justice work is effective. Our children's religious education is strong. Our staff is solid. Our present is secure, and our future is bright. We're doing fine. We're not perfect in every way, but we're fine. We have our challenges, but what we need is not a radical change to be something different, but simply to activate more of what we already have and be more of what we already are. Just 10% more. That's not even a lot more. A completely doable expansion, almost even a relaxation into what will come next. Instead of the stress of being confined in a church package that's a little too small for our dreams, we could give ourselves 10% more room to breathe. And wouldn't that feel nice? 10% more spiritual space to do what we come to church to do. Imagine everything that we already love about this church, just 10% more. If your pledge this year is $100 a month, 10% more is only $110 a month. Could you do that? If your pledge is $50 a month, 10% more is only $55 a month. If your pledge is $73.87 per month, and really, why is your pledge $73.87 per month? Then 10% more is only $81.26 a month. And those little increases, and some of us can do even more, if we all do our part, will allow us to fully fund the church that we all want. The church that we love, just 10% more.